Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
He's ready. All right. Welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 40.
Wow.
This is episode 40. And we have a substitution today due to technical reasons. Mr. Pinto will not be joining us. Last we've heard, he invested his money so well at the Handmade Hedge Fund that he could even be on his way to the moon right now with Elon. So we have a sub, and I'll let the sub introduce himself.
I thought Pinto was making dinner with Mama Donna or whoever the fuck he likes.
Yeah, actually, Paul got hired by Mama Ock as his as her sous chef.
Mama Donna.
Mama Donna.
This is Jimmy DiResta, but I was going to say, don't say anything. And I go, hey, this is Paul. I'm ready. Let's do this. I've been Paul the whole time. We talk about this.
You got to talk shit. You got to talk shit about different things, food, finance.
You know what I hate? You know what I can't stand? I can't stand when people stop to make a left turn. It drives me crazy.
Oh, sorry,
Paul. I always say everybody should go right.
This is what happens when you don't show up for the podcast. Sorry, buddy.
Don't they know make every episode.
Truck that weighs 60,000 pounds? They slow down. They don't put their blinker on fast.
Oh, my God.
Be nice to Paul.
So we've got Mr. DiResta is our official guest of the evening. We have Derek from Malden here. Actually, Derek and Jimmy are about 25 feet away from each other recording on different computers. So, what's going on, guys?
We're at the compound. We have a double secret project going on. Everyone's been seeing all everyone's Instagram cross-pollinating, so everyone knows there's a double secret project happening up here at the house. You need special clearance. Everyone needs badges to get onto the property. It's crazy.
If another person asks me when I'm going to be there, I'm going to fucking jump off a building. Hey, what day are you going up to Jimmy's? Hey, when are you getting to Jimmy's? I'm like, fucking
come on,
kill
that
me.
Makes
come
me
on.
Sad. That makes me sad.
Well, you can come up on the weekend after clearance is no longer needed until Monday again.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was somebody said to me the other day, they're like, hey, what about the COVID bubble? I'm like, COVID tests everywhere. Everyone's got to wear masks. I said, it's on total lockdown unless you're delivering a package by UPS. You can walk in half naked, coughing and wiping your nose, and you can just hand the box to anybody.
I said, so next one of the girls from the milk run can just walk right in with like two shitty coffees and you know, malaria.
No, it's like it's all on lockdown until some guy walks up and is like, did somebody order 35 boxes of shoes? Yep.
Or Willie comes ripping in on the quad with the guy with pizzas. That's okay too. We already delivered the guy pizza delivery.
Willie delivered the guy holding the pizzas to deliver the pizzas down at the Black Barn.
Oh my God. Funny.
Yeah. Lock no, it's on. We got a secret project going on, which we're hoping that, you know, soon we could talk about exactly what it is. But it's a show, it's a TV project, and there's lots of fun.
I thought you said it was a play. I thought you said this was for on-Broadway play.
That's right. It's an off-Broadway rendition of Cats, wow. Right?
Derek, wow. Derek, it's a play. It's whatever you want to be. Just.
Thank you. Wait,
oh, is that too much?
I'm going to have to bleep that out. I'm going to have to bleep that out now. God damn it. I got to try to remember.
Too much?
3 minutes and 25 seconds in. I got to put a bleep. Our first official bleep.
We'll save that for the after show. For the four $1,000 listeners.
Oh my god!
No, we have a television project cooking here. It's been brewing for years. If you listen to my podcast, you know I'm always complaining about TV people. But now all those people I complain about are here in my house in my backyard,
and none of them know about the Handmade podcast. So Jimmy, say whatever you want.
No, but Derek, I mean, me and Derek are talking about how I'm always like whining and pissy about TV people. But in all honesty, I mean, this 100%, I'm not trying to backpedal. I think we've been having a pretty good time with the crew here, Derek. We've been having a lot of laughs. It's awesome. A lot of learning. And I mean, I've been through this a few times and I'm still learning and Derek's learning. And, you know, we got a couple of new machines here on loan. One of them is on loan, the big CNC machine. So this morning, me and Derek were just kind of running through some of the similar paces. It's similar to my other shop, but it's a little complicated in the way that it has a tool changer.
What kind of tool hole is it? BT40 or something?
The big conical one that like is the air. I don't know what it's called.
I think that's what it is. You should see the spindle on this thing.
Oh yeah,
ridiculous.
It's like a transformer on like a neon sign.
Is it water cooled or it's air cooled?
No, air cooled. Yeah. But it's is it, what is it? 5 horsepower?
I think it's a five horsepower.
Shit.
Yeah. The thing is a monster.
It's like eight inch square by like at least.
Yeah. 12 inch. Yeah. I'll take some pictures of it. Maybe we could put them up.
Is it a 5x10 or it's a 4x8?
4x8 with the tool changer.
Nice.
Yeah.
The tool changer will make, I mean, that's a huge, that'll be a world of difference.
And it has a lathe on it. A fourth axis lathe on it.
Oh, nice.
Axis, yeah. It's just
does it have
scary.
A vacuum table like your other one or no?
No, you know, I never run the vacuum table on the one at the other shop. Yeah. And this is a loaner. They're supposed to take it. If COVID doesn't cancel a show for them in July, they're going to take it in mid-July to take it to Texas. Oh, sorry, Vegas. And but the other thing we're talking like, let's say this TV project we're doing turns out to be a hit. I looked at them. I was like, what happens if this is a hit? You're going to uncouple this machine and let it go. They're like, nah, we'll just buy it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Nice.
What's
a machine like that from shop bought cost? What's like a retail on that machine?
Aaron just walked in. Aaron, how much do you think that Alpha shop bought would cost if you had to buy it with that spindle and the tool changer?
25 to 35 grand,
just like that.
The changer itself is 15.
Yeah, wow.
God, that seems like less. I thought you were going to say like 40. I wasn't expecting you to say 20 or 25.
I'm sitting in for.
I haven't priced it out completely, but yeah, it's around 35. Just because with the changer, you have to get the bigger spindle, pneumatic situation, and everything else, and so that's almost double the whole machine.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful machine. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute for a second just to catch up with Aaron, so you guys can talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
But
that's expensive, but I mean, I feel like with the tool changer, it probably makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah. It's funny though, because like the tool changer, it sits right under like the height of the spindle. Mm-hmm. So he keeps just hitting the e-stop because like, we're not really sure about it. And when it goes, man, it goes, and there's so much mass on that thing.
Yeah.
It like literally just skims right over it, and then it will stop and pick him up and stuff. So it's really nerve-wracking watching it go in.
Watching it, like, you think you're going to crash and knock all the tools on the ground and bend the gantry.
Yeah. Break every bit, you know. So it would be a disaster. But
and then just as I'm going to tell Aaron's here listening, but I'm going to talk to you, Zep, about. So we had to restart the computer because it was acting weird. One of the programs crashed and it wouldn't restart. It wouldn't shut off. It wouldn't restart. You couldn't do end task. It wouldn't. So we just restarted the computer. And then when we restarted the computer, Vectrix wouldn't open. It just kept giving us some crazy warning. And then I tried a few times, Derek tried a few times, and then I walked away from it. And then Derek tried again and was able to reinstall it with Jacob. But then our tool library was gone, so we had no. But I wrote to Brian Owen over at ShopBot Tools, and he immediately sent me over a new tool library. He just sent me a picture, he redrew the lot, and so we downloaded it, put it in there, and it seems to be fine. Everything seems to be back to normal.
Yeah, that machine is a 32,000 without the tool changer.
Yeah.
So figure that's probably 45 grand with the tool changer and 4x8. It's if you go to the 5x10, it's like another $10,000 to get up to 5x10, which I guess I understand it would be more expensive, but I can't imagine it's that much higher of a cost to get longer rails, right? Like the machine's the same. It's just got longer rails and a wider gantry, but maybe the parts are beefier to keep it rigid. But that's an amazing machine, though. I'm excited to see what you – I mean, I don't know that it would really change too much of what you would ask from a CNC because you're so used to the workflow and changing the bits. But I feel like maybe you would take on a more involved carve knowing that it would be easier to do with the tool changer because
you could run like a roughing pass on a 3D carve, and then you don't have to worry about – you could just let it go.
Yeah,
you don't have to be as lazy. And then you could be real picky. Like, that's where I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, say you're doing something like the kid Michael, the Veteran Woodco, when he does those badges. You know, you want to get something real intricate. You say, oh, I'm going to run a 32nd inch end mill because, you know, have it there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just a press of a button as opposed to dealing with the bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool, though.
The Tormach that I have is set up for a tool. Like, it's not – it doesn't have a tool changer, but they designed it where they like built it into the system where they could put one on the back of it.
Yeah.
But the spindle that I have is not, you know, you need a special spindle for a tool changer. So, you know, when I talked to them about it, when I first got that machine, they said that they want to add a tool changer to it, but I thought, oh yeah, you just put it on.
What company?
The CNC company, another CNC company. Yeah. I think like, you know, me being more of a CNC novice with, I think, less tolerance than like Derek has, especially less than you have, Jimmy. Like, I don't want to do anything that requires more than one mill. Like, I'll just use the same two flute end mill. Like, even if it's not supposed to do it, I'm just like, fuck it. I can't be changing and re-zeroing. Like, I can't do that.
I lie to my CNC machines all the time. Don't tell anybody, but I let them think that there's a certain type of bit in there, and I don't tell the machine.
Yeah.
I found out it would be very upset with me because I constantly lie to that, and I have a Tormach. I'm joking, but I lie to the Tormach all the time about where it is in space.
I'm planning that aluminum guitar that I'm building, and it's like I'm talking to Luke Smith, and he's like, oh, like, you know, you gotta, he's giving me all these like details, and then he's telling me like, you know, oh, you just do the tool pathing in Fusion. I'm like, dude, I'm such like a CNC novice. I'm doing it all in Vectric. I took a DXF of the guitar, and I just picked each like you know spot, like the well for the electronics. I set the depth of that one, and I'm just like, it's gonna take like 27 hours to mill that guitar. Where if someone knew what they were doing, they could probably do it in a quarter of the time. And he was telling me, we can optimize the tool paths.
You got to be careful when we were cutting our little 80%. Brass knuckles out of aluminum. I cut them out of brass. Brass mills very nicely because it's almost kind of self-lubricates in its own way.
Yeah.
But aluminum just gums up, and the hotter your bit gets, it sticks to the bit. So you could hear the bit from the other side of the room like crying in pain, and you like you run over and you look at the bit, and it's just it looks like it was like has its hand in the honey jar. It's all just covered with like corrosive, not corrosion, but it's all just covered with like stuck on aluminum debris.
Yeah.
So you got to be really careful. You got to kind of hit it with some type of coolant. Maybe you can get the Tormach sells that coolant, that blue stuff, and you could just keep it in a squirt bottle and just keep the model, keep the cut wet. Especially when you're in a pocket, you could just fill it.
I know you guys have
talked about this a couple times when me and Aaron ran that CNC machine. It wasn't a Tormach. What is the name of that machine? It's a spider run from a
That little one, yeah.
From what is it?
APSX.
I'm a good brand influencer. When it comes to initials, I always mix them all up because I have go ahead, you guys can laugh at me. I have learning disabilities. Go ahead, it's okay. Let's laugh at you. APSX gave us the spider, which is SPIDER. No, and we ran the mold for the thing with an end mill. It was a 1/32nd end mill, and we ran that cut for like 30 hours. And I just filled, once it made a void, I just filled that void with 3-in-1 oil. And when we came back, it was just a pile. It looked like it had snowed on the little model.
Like swarf, yeah.
It was just like a pile of like gooey silver. And then I was like, is that possibly be a model under that? And we swept it away, and like the cavity was in perfect condition. So, but that was super stressful.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to buy a shitload of end mills and break a lot of them. But I don't, you know, whatever. It's a learning experience. I talked to somebody else that's got a Tormach 24R, the same one that I have. And I thought that he was doing a bunch of aluminum milling on that machine because he has like every machine that they've made, and he's a client. He's not like a YouTube or Instagram guy. You know, he just like, I guess, likes their machines. And so I message him thinking like that he's making shit with aluminum on his. I'm like, oh man, like it seems like you do a ton of aluminum work, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, no, I never use my 24R for aluminum. He goes, I don't think it would be very efficient. So he's like crushed. I was hoping he was going to say, oh yeah, this is exactly what you need to do, you know, to like do what you need on this machine.
And with a quarter inch mill, if you're going to run a quarter inch mill, maybe like a 1 or 2 flute mill, you're going to have to do like, your depth of cut's going to have to be like, I don't know, 15th thou, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty small. And then the RPMs, like, and the inch per minute, like Luke Smith has been doing a ton of aluminum milling on his Shape Oko. I don't know if you guys have seen that. He made like the little anvils, and he's figured out, like he pushes his pretty hard. And the little Shape Oko is not a rigid machine. You know, it's an X carve. Yeah. It's a better X carve. So I don't know. We'll see.
Half an inch a minute?
No.
Oh, we're not recording.
No, I'm recording now. We had a technical glitch. We're back. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm looking forward to starting it. I think it's going to be really cool. So hopefully soon.
Yeah, Luke is real good with that. But I told you before, I would talk to Tony.
And
he would, you know, be happy to help you out and give you some speeds and feeds and just explain, you know, what you should be looking for. But I was doing some test cuts with just that small step craft I had and some aluminum, and it was cutting it unbelievable. And, you know, it was nice, you know, that and some brass, but yeah, the aluminum does get real gummy. And then that, guy, Winston Moy, is that his name? He does a lot with aluminum on his, and he has really, really good results, and he uses a Shape Oko as well. So,
yeah, I think, you know, I'm hoping to be like pleasantly surprised, because like some of those pockets, one of the pockets on that guitar is an inch and 5/8 deep or something like that. Like it's really deep. And I just kind of figure like I'll get as much as I can get done with it. And if I have to go over to the bridge port and, you know, bore out a hole, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, the idea is to do it somewhat efficiently. I could do the whole thing on the bridge port with the bandsaw. You know, like if I really wanted to make an aluminum guitar.
The similar project I did was the license plate die that I did in aluminum for Carolina Shoes last year.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of long, slow cuts. So, I mean, if you watch that.
Yeah.
And then, like, I know everyone says the O flute, but then some people say for roughing, you can use a 2 flute. So again, I'm going to spend like $200 on shit from Amazon and just run them until they break, and whatever lasts through it. Luckily, shout out to Online Metals. They sponsored the project and supplied me with the aluminum. So I'm not doing so bad on it.
I'm going to do a little movie making magic. Just get yourself a Telecaster guitar.
Spray paint it. Yeah, there you go. I bought the project.
You'll burn out the spindle. You'll be out of your.
I know, right?
You'll break your 50th bit.
Wow!
And you're gonna have to like post.
Tip.
Yep. Pro tip.
That's fine. I'll do it. It's so funny. Like I was working on something, and I was working on something. Oh, I was working on this video, and like I messed up. I'm making this video about like drilling, like drilling holes in metal, just like a tips video. And I messed up. I was trying to bore out one of the holes and I fucked up my test piece. It was like, it had all these holes drilled in it. It was supposed to be like the example. And I messed it up like midway through the video. And I was like, well, I can't even like recover from this. I just need to completely pivot the whole video now, or I got to go and drill a whole nother test piece. It like, you know, I think people that don't make YouTube videos don't realize that sometimes you can do the movie magic, but sometimes it really screws up your whole shit. Your whole project gets like derailed by that one mistake.
Well, I was I felt a lot of pressure last week when I had to make this coffee grinder video. I really had no idea if it was going to work at all. Like, I didn't even know if I was even going to get to like a rotational thing that actually did even remotely grind it up. And it ground the coffee. It ground the coffee. It didn't grind it great. And, you know, a lot of the fans jumped in and said, you got to get coffee. You got to get a burr grinders, which I had never heard of. And so I did some research and I can buy a set of burr grinders for $50. And it's like a stationary wheel and a rotational wheel. And the coffee will kind of come down through the middle of it and be ground out, kind of just like a like an old mill that, you know, you would have ground grain on, like those bricks you see in people's front yard, those big, like a grinding mill, like a millstone.
Yeah.
And but made in sharp, you know, stainless steel. Anyway, I might do that. It'll make the thing more useful. But, you know,
yeah,
I mean, grinder. I had to hide it from the final shots of the video because it was right in the background. I was like, oh, people are going to be on me.
My buddy, who's a coffee snob and like grinds and roasts his own beans. As soon as he put out that video, he was like, oh my God, this is burning my eyes. As soon as you put out the little coffee grinder thing, he had something to say about, I don't know a thing about, I drink coffee either from 7-Eleven or from the Keurig. So I don't know shit about grinding beans, but he was offended.
Yeah, no, a lot of people were. The video is doing well. I thought the video was going to be a total clinker, but people like, you know, me scabbing shit together. So
that's I'm like not a complain. New thing now. Everybody like roasting their own beans. It's like, don't you have enough aggravation in your life? Like you got to add roasting the beans. Like I couldn't even grind my own beans.
In that video, in the comments, you could go look. I forget what the guy's name is. They said, oh, you got to talk to, you know, John Smith. So I went and Googled this name who I didn't recognize. And the guy he's a coffee snob. He talks every week about coffee and how to grind it and how to roast it and what's the best bean and how to break it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I learned about a little bit watching him. He talked about it with the burr grinder and the difference between stuff. And so that's, you know, it's every time you put a video out, you just never know. You never know like what you're going to learn from your fans. And, you know, you always learn something.
Oh, you got the world's shittiest machinist mug in that video.
I did.
I wish I would have given you one of my branded world's shittiest machinist mugs.
I know. I wish I was had it in the store. I wish I had that in my store.
I know.
We are selling coffee, believe it or not. I'm not grinding the coffee that goes in those bags, not in that janky ass machine, but we sell beans and ground coffee. So you buy them both. But that video helped.
Yeah, I bet. And that's good. You've been plugging the merch.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's like I talked to my mom about it this morning. She's like, I see you selling coffee on Facebook. What's that all about? I was like, you know, it helps.
To shut up and buy a bag.
Yeah. So send it to all of our cousins, mom.
It all goes to the bottom line. You know, when it becomes unprofitable, like the jeans, it'll just fade away. And everyone's going to be like, do you make coffee still? And then when I run for president, everyone's going to show Trump, dress to jeans, dress to coffee. They're going to be like Trump. They're all going to like dig up all my past, all my failed adventures.
Hey, tell Aaron I want my dressed to steak cook medium, please.
Yeah.
Didn't he sell steaks too?
Yeah, we sell steaks and water. And water.
Yeah. You're going to buy your own spring, you know?
Yeah.
You could get something up there. I got young Macklin looking at a piece of property right down the street from my dirt lot up there.
Oh, really?
You better buy it quick. Prices are going up.
I know. There. It's $45,000 for 5.1 acres, right on 67. So like right on the road that Smiley's is on.
Yeah.
I can't find it because it has no address. So like you can't actually.
How big is it?
5 acres.
And how much is it?
$45,000.
Wow.
Which is crazy because that's more than double what I paid for
mine.
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's like a Indian burial ground under mine or I just got that lucky. You know, he was looking at property up in Vermont and I kept telling him, I'm like, dude, why are you going to go all the way to Vermont by yourself? I was like, why don't you come up?
Plus it's,
you
know, much further ride. And everybody from Vermont is strange. So.
Well, I mean, it's much further. He doesn't know anybody up there. I was like, you know, me and him hang out all the time. I said, you know, why don't you get something up in the Catskills, like where mine is, and at least like later in life when we have kids and families, like we can be near each other up there. I said, plus I'm going to build something up there. So whenever you're, whenever you start your project, you know, you've got my machines up there, you know, like we can, there'll be a community of people versus you having to first go up to some random town and hope that you meet people that you don't hate, you know, like, so he's, I think, going to come up with me, in May for the Blackthorn thing. So that should be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be good. A lot of people
are they going to let you guys out? Are they going to let you guys out on a conjugal visit for the Blackthorn or what?
No, we're locked down.
Got it.
Locked down. So
yeah,
too bad. Let us know how it was though.
Yeah. I'm hoping not to grab any molten hot pieces of metal and wind up at the urgent care.
You should do it. It's such a cool YouTube video.
Yeah, I know. I just want to make the AdSense off of the off of one of those like fail videos, you know. This time I'll film it.
Be like David Dobrik. Just swing your burning hand around. You know?
So I don't even know. I mean, other than, well, actually, Derek, I know at the end, right before you went off to the psych ward, you got your table project out and done, right? Or at least done on your end.
Yeah, it's not completely done yet. It's, I still got to do some work to that, but it's in the middle stage right now. I was concentrating on signs. I had like 9 signs I finished up the last week I was at home, and it was literally down to the wire. I got everything shipped out, and thank God everything got there in one piece except for one sign. One sign fought me every inch of the way. It was Doug from Artfully Rogue. Mm-hmm. That friggin' sign, it was like it broke when I put the hanger on the back, which I still don't know how that happened, but it cracked. And then I tried to redo it 3 times. All 3 times it got screwed up on the CNC. I was out of MDF. And then the kicker was I shipped it, and I was checking it on the shipping app to see where it was, and it was being returned to me because it was the wrong zip code. I put in his address, and it auto-populated the zip code, and it was off by 1 digit, so it sent it back. So I got to resend it. I'm like, that thing just doesn't want to happen. But everybody else got their signs, and they loved them. And I made one for Jimmy. It's in the shop. So during the play, we'll be able to see it, hopefully.
Nice.
And, but that's kind of – everything's kind of at a standstill right now until – this week, once we have kind of a schedule, see what we're doing, it'll be easier to see if we could do some stuff on the side, you know, because right now it's just tough because everybody's, you know, trying to get things set up and, you know, things like that. So once we're down to a routine, it'll be good because I'll be able to see what, you know, I have for free time, if any, and, you know, just handle things accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in there. Even right now, like while we talk, we took a break to come in the house, but there's a lot of physical activity. People like hanging up all the tchotchkes, you know, well, like I'm like Pigpen from the Peanuts. Like I say, that little cloud of shit follows me everywhere I go, like in front of, right around my computer.
That's what my mom calls me. She's like, you're like Pigpen.
There's always just like, you know, there's like a little cloud of dust around me with like tools and rusty shit sticking out of it everywhere. And so they love the shop, the other one down the road, and they're like, oh, can we recreate this? So they're out there trying to recreate that by hanging every fucking thing I own on the wall. But yeah, they don't know. They're doing a nice job. It looks like an upscale TGI Fridays. We're gonna make chicken wings and bacon. Fucking,
are you gonna guys do the happy birthday, happy birthday, and then you're all gonna wear different pins?
Yeah,
you walk around every time, you know, every time you stick your finger in the table saw, you get a different pin. When they first started cleaning it out, it looked so wide open, and now I saw, I think one of the people's stories today, the way it's arranged, it looked tighter. Like I'm used to seeing it with like this kind of big open middle. It looked like
a lot of stuff shoved around only because the camera people are like, oh, this looks great. Can we move this giant heavy thing over there? Can we make a lane over here? Can we put this, the whole thing, this whole project's going to mostly be shot on tripods with wheels. So it's going to really suck. No, it's going to suck. It's going to suck that the tripods are going to be like getting in the way of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Derek was laughing. They had like 8 cameras up. They were doing blocking the other day of us, like, you know, where we'll be in the opening sequences, just to get like a light test. And I just kept saying, guys, you know, I have a GoPro in my pocket. You can borrow it if you want.
Dude, did not go over funny. That wasn't what he said. What happened was, I said I jumped to this. Hold on. He says, so it was getting to be a very tense because just it was a long day.
Everybody I didn't even recognize tied. That it was tense. I didn't even notice.
And so everybody was tired, and Jimmy said,
hold on, wait, just to set the tone. I kept taking breaks to go out and cut my anvil. So I was literally like, go out, yeah, work on the anvil for an hour and come, yeah, back. And they'd be like, we got to reset the camera. And I'd run out and I'd grind on the fucking anvil.
Yeah, so they have a stand-in for Jimmy. Then Jimmy's there. Then they're moving this and moving that.
The wooden anvil says,
if you want, I have a GoPro you can clip on the wood and, you know, and film this. And somebody kind of chuckled and he said, I paid for this bond with the GoPro. So it was good. It was a little bit of a dig, but it was good. But Jimmy, I got bad news.
What'd you break?
I didn't break the tube, but I can't undo the Rolex. It's stuck on my wrist.
You have to wear it for the rest of your life now.
Yeah,
I think it's broke. Put the Rolex down. Derek's got my workshop Rolex on, and I'm wearing my daytime Rolex.
Derek's got the workshop Rolex.
It's amazing. It's not dirty at all.
It's just beat up. Is it dirty?
Oh my god! There's a ton of sawdust. I'm gonna sprinkle it on the floor to absorb all the coffee I spilled.
All the cat urine.
I didn't want to say that.
I know the cat
got kitty litter all encrusted inside the.
The cat pissed in one of my backpacks, and I can't figure out which one it is.
Dude, did I ever tell you? So my mom's cat is like real spiteful, and she hates when my mom leaves. So one day my mom's packing to go on vacation, right? She's got this really expensive piece of luggage. She takes it out of her closet. She puts it on the bed. She turns around, opens her closet, hears a noise, turns back around. The cat's in the bag looking right at her, pissing in the suitcase.
Yeah. My cat has pissed in my suitcase before too when I was going to China.
You can't get rid of that smell.
She was so she went away. You know, it was like an expensive suitcase. I didn't realize the cost of nice luggage. So while she was away, we found her a replacement. And when she got home, she walks in the door. She goes, "You didn't throw it out?" Because she thought that it was the one that the cat had pissed in. Me and my brother bought her a new one because she was upset. I'm like, "No, we didn't throw it out. I said we just hosed it out. It's fine. It's clean. It doesn't smell like piss anymore." She's like, "No, you got to throw it out. It's never going to." I'm like, "Mom, come on. Yeah. No, we threw that thing away. This is a new one for you."
Yeah. Yeah, that smell never goes away. Yeah, of course you would have.
I'll bring it up next time. It's probably still in a garbage bag in her backyard. That's what we do. She has like an alleyway behind the yard. Every time something's like big and needs to go in the trash, we just throw it in the alleyway and it sits there for 2 years.
Yeah, no, this project is crazy. There's going to be lots of stopping and starting. And then at one point there was a discussion. And it's like the worst game of telephone you could ever imagine because – some person might make a suggestion, and then by the time it comes to my ears, it's like the suggestion times 50 with like a few other really stupid ideas thrown in. And at one point, someone suggested that we move the main table out of the shop and not use it because blocking would be in the way. And then I walked up to the main guy. And I'm like, "Do you not want this table in here?" And he goes, "What? I didn't say that. Who told you that? Who told you that? I didn't say that.
Which table? The one that you just built?
Fucking liar. He's like, why? Okay. And then he just goes, where would you put it? You're right in the middle of the fucking room to work on.
So if he listens to this podcast, I had nothing to do with that conversation.
No, Derek didn't tell me. Somebody else.
I'll chop the table up.
Well, Mike knows I love
him. I'll do whatever you want. We'll burn the table.
Yeah. Mike knows I love him.
Yeah. No, honestly, it's been a lot of fun. It's just it's a shame everybody can't be part of it.
It's a lot of laughs. I mean, us just goofing off, like the just blocking, and Graz is always cracking us up, and Pat and Paul Jackman posted a thing today of me and Derek like with our nose in the computer trying to figure out this problem we had. Yeah. And then it says like we're talking about real mail, and he's like, he's just making fun of us. It's fun.
Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice up here.
Nice, yeah, how's the weather up there? It's nice, right? You guys got a little snow the other day.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. So cold.
It's cold here today.
any minute it's going to break and it's just going to be too hot, which is what I'm looking forward to. But I want to bring up some mechanical issues we just had. And at one point, the producer said, can we bring some of your old cars over here? So I brought my blue flatbed and I'm going to bring my little green truck down there right after to kind of set the atmosphere around the barn just so it looks like there's some cool texture. And I knew a couple days ago the blue truck ran perfectly and then suddenly it doesn't run perfectly. And it feels like it's getting choked out for gas. Now, Derek and I both think there's about an 8% chance that it's low on gas, but the fuel filter is full.
It ran perfectly. That's a brand new fuel tank, right? You put a new fuel tank in that
truck. The gauge seems to be working, and the fuel filter doesn't have a spot of rust in it. Like maybe, you know, maybe the line's getting choked somewhere, but the line is new too. I didn't put the new line in, but you know, it was a road crew maintenance truck, so it was always getting maintenance. So there was a new fuel line in it. And the fuel pump looks new, but I'm suspecting maybe the fuel pump, because it would run anytime I'm high revving, it would start choking out. Anytime I'm high revving, it was choking out. So anytime I'm going up a hill, it starts choking out.
Did you put the old fuel pump back in it?
No, the fuel pump was on the car. You know, it's on the engine. I didn't.
Oh, it's on the engine. It's that type. I thought it was the one that was in the tank. Oh, okay.
No. It's the tank is just a siphon tank, and then it goes through the fuel pump that's attached to the it rides off of one of the cams or something. And so it's in a typical spot. I mean, I know Chevys, I don't know any other car, but it's in that spot right in the front left side of the engine when you're looking at the car, and it looks like it's accessible. But so Aaron, I told him the problem, because Aaron was with me the other day when I was trying to drive it up here, and
you
I kept
got stuck or you're like
no kinda, I kept having to stop. I didn't say
45 minutes. I might post a video on my Instagram. For
make it your next YouTube video, Derek, in full length, no edits, just the whole thing.
No, the truck kept losing power. And most of the time it didn't stall, but it did stall a few times. So I'd be driving and I go in first gear, second gear, and the minute I'm like trying to get out of second gear, just like, burr, 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 burr. Just like you're running out of gas. And then when I come to a complete stop, it's running perfect. But the minute I needed to demand the gas, the minute there was high revs or demanding more fuel pump, it was choking out. Even if I'm running it in first gear, I was trying to find a level of gas that I could give it so that I wouldn't choke it out, or so that it wouldn't die. And it would just rev, and then suddenly it would just be like, okay, I'm done. I don't have any gas in here. And so anyway, we made it into the driveway down to the barn. And now I have to, right where it is, I'm going to maybe pull a fuel pump. I don't know. We'll see what I could do. Just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's annoying. I mean, at least it was running well though. So hopefully it is just that's the thing about like the old car. That's why I sold my other old truck, is because like if I had that same experience and I had to like drive somewhere, like the last time I drove that truck, it had to get inspected because the inspection had gone out and I was getting the notices from New York State that I was going to start getting like fined. So I drove it to my buddy's shop and it was like driving fine. And then I'm at a stop. This happens to me every time I'm in like an old car too. I'm driving down the road. I'm on this nice long straightaway and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to sell this truck. This thing is great. It's running great. As soon as I have that thought, I get to a stoplight. I'm at a red light. I'm idling. It fucking dies. It stalls. And I'm in second. That truck starts in second. So I probably at this point had shifted back to second, but it dies. So now I'm like, fuck, what do I do? I'm the first car at a stoplight in like a really busy intersection. So I'm like frantically shut it off, hit the clutch, put it in neutral, like trying to get it to start, revving it out. Then I'm burning out off the line because I'm like, I'm so frantic. I'm sweating like shit. There's no air conditioning in the car either. So I'm literally just sweating because I'm in the freaking truck. I got to his shop. He inspected it. I blazed it home and that was it. I never drove that truck again and I sold it. I was like, I just can't deal with it.
Me and Patrick drove it. Me and Patrick picked up what do you call those things? Like a hedgehog. Derek, what is that thing we got? I can't remember what it's called.
A billy goat.
Yeah, like a billy goat that like cuts deep grass and like small trees. And we bought it from some guy over in Preston Hollow, and it was probably about 10 miles away. Yeah. We drove to this remote area. He was at a really long dead end, beautiful house in the scenic valley over there. Loaded it up, drove back, no problem at all. Patrick was driving it. But then I got nervous because Patrick lives high up on that giant hill all the way up, going over towards Gilboa. Mm-hmm. And we were going to drive my truck all the way up there. And the truck is got a leaky it's got a leaky brake cylinder. So,
oh boy! Oh fuck! Nope.
Yeah, you don't want to go.
I said, Pat, do you really want to go to your house and ride the brakes all the way down the hill, or at least go down in second gear the entire way, because that's what we're gonna have to do. And I said, we'll bring it to my house. We'll throw it in my truck. Cause now that we know we didn't know what we were getting into, how big and pain in the ass it was. So we put it on the flatbed, and then I didn't want him driving all the way up to his house. And then the two of us in a runaway truck going down that hill from the top of Wyndham. Like we literally would be like still in the pole at the bottom of 145 at the bottom of that hill.
That's the other thing with that truck I had is like the parking brake, like didn't work that well, but you don't really know how well a parking brake works until it fails, right? Like you put it in your parking brake and it seems fine, and then you come out of the store and your truck is on the other side of the parking lot. So like
I got out at the hardware store the other day. I got out at the hardware store. As I get out of my car, they're like, wow, what a cool truck. And I look back and it's already rolled back like 2 feet.
Dude, I jump and no,
I put the parking brake on and it still rolled because you need to kind of stop it all the way out at the floorboard.
That's the thing too.
Why I got rid of my friggin' truck. It's
what
like,
year was that truck?
It wasn't that old. I had a 91 and that was a 95. But it's like when you don't have a car that you can depend upon, and you know, I was driving into Boston every day and it was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Yep. No, so I
love the look of this old Chevy. You know, it's an 85 Chevy square body. Yeah. I love the look of it, but I also love the utility of it. So now, if I get a couple extra bucks and I want to buy a new truck, I'm going to get a flatbed. But I would love to get like a, you know, like a 2015 flatbed or something, you know, so like a 2018 flatbed, something that's, you know, once owned, but is in still pretty good usable shape.
Yeah, that's what I've been looking at is like if I'm going to I have about I don't have that much left on the Sprinter for payments. Cause I took a real short loan on that truck so that I could pay zero interest. But once that truck is paid off, I think I'm going to buy a dually or something larger that I can tow with, you know, like a bigger,
having a flatbed
newer truck.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You would be on fucking season five of Hoarders. It's unbelievable.
Well, I don't have anywhere to put anything. It's just like
you'd find room. I'm telling you, you'd be like, I could shove it right off your loading dock into my flatbed.
I know, dude. I know.
I'll just put it on top of my other table saw when I get it here.
Yeah, it's fine, dude. You know who's been bad lately? You guys watch Infinite Craftsman? You know,
bunk
Tom?
Table saw.
Yeah.
Dude, have you guys seen what he's been getting himself into lately?
No,
He's fucked up. So he's in like a two car garage in like the lower level of his house in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And there was a machine shop in Connecticut, I think, near him that was just kind of like letting shit go. So he bought like a second operation lathe. You know what a second operation lathe is? It's more for like very repetitive stuff. So you turn your blank to size, then you'd put it in this lathe and it would like drill the hole and like, you know, cut the end off. So it's really like more of a production level machine. Like this old man in Connecticut was selling, you know, everything was rock bottom prices. Like he sold Tom the lathe for $100, you know, and it's like a hard inch size.
He sent me a great old GMC truck, like a 36 GMC truck from that guy. But I just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. So he's always like, so he, you know, he doesn't, he takes care of his kids. I think he's a stay at home dad. So like the income that he makes to buy the tools is from buying and, you know, kind of flipping stuff. So he's always looking like me. And recently there was a $50 Bridgeport on Craigslist.
I saw that.
In upstate New York. He went and got it. But in order to get it, this is so funny. So he had a minivan. He doesn't have a truck. So he asked his friend if he could borrow his trailer and his truck to get that $50 Bridgeport. He drove to get the Bridgeport. It was like an hour away. They tried he bought a winch from Harbor Freight. He tried to pull it up the trailer on pipes. And he broke the winch off the trailer. Then on the way home, he left the Bridgeport. He paid for it. And he was like, I'll come back. On the way home, got a blowout on the trailer that he didn't own. Then told his friend, listen, dude, I need a trailer. Bought the trailer from his friend. Bought four new tires for the trailer. Bought a new winch. All this shit. So he gets this $50 Bridgeport. It costs him like $2,000 to get the $50 Bridgeport.
I was wondering, I missed all the beginning of that. I didn't realize what was going on.
So now that he's got the trailer, though, his friend, I guess, will let him borrow his truck whenever he needs it. And he gets the trailer and he finds this guy with the shop. And yesterday he came home from this guy's shop with like four South Bends, like bins full of inspecting tools. And he's like parting out an Atlas lathe to sell each individual piece to like guys on Facebook. But it's like he's got no room to put anything anywhere. It's worse than it's like me. But imagine if I only had one room to put shit in, you know?
Yeah.
You do and have I'm like, one room to put shit in. There just happens to be a wall between two of them.
Yeah.
A
wall, well, I say to him, like,
Bridgeports.
Well, it's so funny. So yesterday he has all this shit out in his driveway. He's got like four lathes and all this shit. And then last night it was supposed to rain. So last night at like midnight, he posts a story of everything just like pushed in right behind his garage door. Like he just is able to shut the garage door. I'm like, dude, you're fucked up, man. You're out of your mind. But he's made some good money buying and selling tools. So God bless him.
Yeah. They're out there.
I'm going to look.
Just got to put in the effort, though. That's it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, listen. I found a really nice Jet. He just bought a Jet 18-inch bandsaw on Marketplace. He told me he spent $1,200 on it. I saw the same exact one today. It had been used one time, about an hour away from me, for $500, which is like nothing for an 18-inch Jet. You know, like similar to the size that you just got, Derek. Mm, like yeah. $500 is probably yeah. like 20% of what it should cost.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I could get in the car and I could drive and I could get it and bring it home yeah. and try to sell it for $1,100. But by the time I'm all done, it's like, I just yeah. don't have the energy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot. It's, and you get buried and then it's like too much yeah. shit. That's what I'm dealing with now. It's just.
Yeah.
I'm looking at.
When I go home, I'm going to have to deal with it.
Wait, I was going to say, when you get back. After yeah. spending all this time here where you've got a forklift and 10 yeah. people to help you move something heavy, it's you're going to be like, you know, it's like when I go to Paul's and I come back to my shop, I'm like, fuck, I can't even pick up this I-beam yeah. because it's too heavy, you know, like.
Well, yeah. I just hope I can win a Tony and then maybe get some money. I can move out and get another shop or something. I don't
yeah.
know.
But I think eventually.
Wait till you get a flatbed, Chris. I'm telling you.
Well, what I don't think, like, if I could have, when I eventually am in a bigger shop, I think I could make a lot of money selling machines. But before I move to a bigger shop, there's too much involved with me trying to move. Like I sold like four milling machines last year and I made like probably $5,000 in profit, but it was a ton of work.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. it was so much work.
In the proper truck, you wouldn't be dealing with all that shit. It's a problem.
No, I mean, that's yeah, exactly. Like, I wouldn't mind going and buying. Like, I would have bought that $50 Bridgeport. I wouldn't have even hesitated. I would have gotten right in the car and I would have picked it up. You know, like, there would have been no question. It would have, you know, nobody else would have had a chance at it, you know. But, you know, moving a Bridgeport takes all day if you don't have the right machines. That's why your Supermax is still in your mother's driveway.
That's you right. know? I'm waiting for you to deliver it and surprise me.
Listen, if I could, if you come with the tilt trailer and I'll get it on the tilt trailer, but you know, I told Aaron, I said, dude, if you come down with your pickup truck, I said, we'll figure out a way to get it in there. But
I'm waiting for Air Ride to give me, if Air Ride gives me like the, you know, the Air Ride lift trailer, every time I talked to them years ago and they said that they would give me one for cost, which is still what, like $9,000.
Why would you want an Air Ride versus what you have now? It's just jostles you around.
Because you could load it level.
You mean like a full drop deck, a drop deck.
Yeah. Air Ride is the company that I talked to.
Yeah.
And that from the same guy that I communicated with, he still sends me like discount emails because I'm on that mailing list now, but it's still from the same sales guy, but they're their group emails. And I always write back. I always write back. I keep lowering it. Now I just said, I have a new TV project. And I said the name of the show. I mean, the name of the company. I was like, if you want to give me one for zero, I'll take it. I just kept lowering it. Now that like with the cachet we may have, you know, with this new project, I was like,
yeah,
you could pay me to take one.
Those things, I would love to get one of those. And I think I would spend the money on one. The problem for me is that the Sprinter can only tow 5,000 pounds. And those things are usually about twice as heavy as a regular trailer. You know, like those drop deck trailers are so heavy.
You could load them with pallet forks. That's the thing. You know, you could load them with a
pallet jack.
You could load them with a pallet jack. That's why I like it.
Yeah. Oh no, they're amazing and they're so safe. You know, you just, there's no like drop risk. The problem is, like, I looked at the one that Pinto's rented one before a couple times. That one that he rents, the tandem axle one, weighs like 4,000 pounds empty. You know, like they're so heavy because there's so many other components. There's like twice as much steel and all this different shit.
And the tilt trailer is interesting, but you know, I when I was trying to offload, David, the Mexican carpenter, helped me. I can't believe he happened to be here that day. We offloaded my power hammer off of my trailer. Hmm. Not only did we get stuck in the mud 80 times, but the trailer, when you start, because I loaded it on the trailer off of a chain hoist. So I drove under it and dropped it. And then I get to my house and then I tilt the trailer and I'm like, this thing's going to fall like a tree. It's so top heavy. It's literally like the same weight for like, well, we saw, what's his name? Will dropped his.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a Will Stelter.
Yeah. And I literally chained the top of the tall casting so that, you know, if I kept feeling, if that rope was getting taut, I'd start getting scared. But we were okay. Obviously, we were okay. But it is. And then actually, because it was a tilt trailer, it came down under the header of the building and just missed the header. If you try to go straight in, it wouldn't have went straight in.
Yeah. But
because it came down off the bottom of the tilt trailer, it just missed the header of getting underneath the blacksmith shop.
Yeah, that's a big – it's funny because what's that, 125-pound hammer?
It's a 125-pound hammer. Yeah.
So it's not even like that big of a hammer, but it's so like massive.
Massive casting, The massive frame.
Like Chris, I almost bought – you saw that power hammer that Chris just sold? He just sold a 100-pound little giant incomplete. Mm-hmm. Well, it's complete, but it's not restored. So I have one of the pieces from that power hammer. When I went to his house a couple months ago, he had a piece that was like – when it was cast, it's like crooked, so he needed it to be remachined. So I told him I would do it for him, so he gave it to me. And then he called me the other day, said, listen, I'm going to sell that 100-pound little giant. He was going to keep it for himself. He goes, I need that piece. You know, can you try to either finish it or just give it to me as is, you know, and I'll give it to the new buyer. And he wanted $6,000 for that hammer, like as is, for a 100-pound little giant. So I was like, you know what? Like I thought about buying it, but 100-pound little giant weighs like almost 4,000 pounds. I was like, fuck, I don't want to deal with that. You know, like I can't even like move that around, you know? So I had a pass on it, but.
I got to work on my little.
What do you have, a 50 count. Or a 25?
I think it's a 25. It's a 25. I forgot. Yeah. I just wanted to get a little one. Cool. So.
Where is that one, Jimmy?
It's in the shop. We took it apart. Me and Rojas took it apart. And I got to start working on the parts. Now that it's summer, we'll do it.
Yeah.
I also need to buy a lot of new parts. So Eric is, Andrew has sent me the list, and I got to just go buy them.
Yeah, that's
what are you going to do?
Just I like that little hammer. I like the smaller little giants. They're really nice. I think that, you know, like I'd love to get a 50-pound mechanical hammer like that. I just feel like they're so cool, you know.
Yeah, they are, and they don't shake the whole neighborhood. That's the best part.
Yeah, I mean, like the Anyangs are cool too. I don't know. Like, there's something about that old, like the way the little giant like looks when it's running versus like having an air hammer, you know. Like a bunch of guys recently just got the Anyangs, like Zach from ZH Fab just got one.
Which one did he get? How big is that? That looks huge.
He got the 88, I think.
And that's run on a self-contained air hammer?
Self-contained air hammer. I think that's the biggest one you can get that's not three-phase. Yeah, that's the biggest one you can get that's not three-phase. But it's not that big of a hammer. Like the one Chris has, the one that Chris and Ilya and Matt have, that's the bigger one. That one weighs like 8,000 pounds, and it's like a real like large, like a nasal size hammer. The 88 is actually a pretty small hammer, but it's up on like a stand, which makes it look bigger. But, you know, they're nice, and I think they're a cool hammer. I like the idea that they're just reliable and they just work, but there's something about the nostalgia of like, you know, when you see like a big little giant running, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to get mine done. You know, the problem is I want to restore it, but I don't want to repaint it. Everyone's going to get mad at me if I don't repaint it. So I want to leave it all green and shitty looking.
Fuck them.
I won't.
Spray paint it silver.
Good idea. Made it out of aluminum.
Yeah. That's right. That's what we got to do. It's the aluminum little giant. That video would go viral. People would watch it just to criticize you in the comments.
So Derek, you know?
Yes,
Derek. Let me tell you guys. Let me tell both of you guys about the great four cheese pizza that I once ate.
Oh really boy! Yeah.
You know, British people make the greatest four cheese pizza. I think it's the best pizza.
Was it one of Paul Pinto slices? He's never been the same since.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever go back to England.
You'd have to pay him to go back. Are you guys going to go to Maker Central? Did you guys book that yet?
I didn't book it yet, but I'll be going.
Yeah,
if we're allowed out of the country, and you know, providing things.
Yeah, if the world is good to go, I'll go. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
It's August, right? The
country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice, easy trip over there. It's not bad flight. You know, six mm-hmm. hours, you're there. The time change isn't horrible.
Yeah.
A guy I worked with was living in Scotland, so he invited me to hang with him for a day or two. So I probably won't do it, but it'd be nice to see him, you know. So I'd like to get over there, you know. I like it over there. I like the trip. I like the people over there. It's fun, you know, and it's just fun.
I got invited to participate in a documentary, so – if there's a four-part documentary from a news agency in South Asia, then the woman called me. I think Nick gave her my name, and she did some research on me. So they're going to – yeah, seriously. It's a four-part documentary. It's a four-part documentary series, and she wants to interview me while we're there. She's like, could you preserve one full day for us to interview you because it's going to be really long.
But it's in England. It's not – you don't have to go to Asia.
No. Yeah, it's in England. She's going to come and get some footage of Maker Central, but she wants me to be the subject – for the guy who's like the regular maker guy, like that, you know, and then there's one about like a guy that does fabric and there's one that's like, old computer.
Oh,
she's
got it
broken into like four categories of different people.
Got it.
And she wants me to be like the regular maker guy. And we had a really good talk a couple of weeks ago. And so we've been in touch. So she's like, yeah, when you come to make, so I definitely want to be part of that. Cause I you know,
excited. I thought I was going to Southeast Asia with you.
Yeah. Right.
Take me someplace really nice. Oh, Jesus. What have you done for me lately? Yeah.
One day we'll be able to sit like when we're on Kimmel together, Derek, me and you, I can tell the story about what happened before everything went down.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice. It'll be a great story.
No man left behind.
We can all laugh about it then.
Yeah, no man left behind. We can't say what happened, but I don't know. Did we even talk about what happened? I don't think we did.
Yeah, no, we can't.
You can't.
No.
You know, that thing when, like...
The thing
with the place. I mean, you know, it happens. Yeah. These things happen.
Yeah, the thing when
we had to go back and get our... You know, we had a wounded soldier. Mm-hmm. We had to go back and kill that left behind.
Yeah, send Dog the Bounty Hunter to get him, you know?
Yeah. Dog the Bounty Hunter.
You know, that was like a year ago this week. I just saw that on my phone. A year ago, I think yesterday, we were
a year
at
ago?
Us, 2 years ago, 2 years ago,
2 years,
2 years ago,
ago
yesterday, we were on our way to Spring Make with Dog the Bounty Hunter. That was the realization.
Yeah, that's when we realized so Brett McAfee looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter when he has his black wraparounds on. He's being all stoic at the rest stop, like looking into the wind, waiting for his bestie to text him back. And
that was funny.
And then Paul Pinto goes, yo, look at Dog the Bounty Hunter over there. And then he said that and I spit my lunch out.
I never heard you laugh that hard in my life.
Oh,
well, dude, it was a year ago, 2 years ago today. Years ago today.
Hold no on. Way, really?
Yeah, 2 years ago today. Hold on, I think I turned the camera again.
And then we all went to
look.
Oh,
hey, there's that.
Oh my God.
That really was so today?
Crazy. 2 years
That's
ago.
The look, anniversary of Dog the Bounty Hunter?
2 years ago today. That you guys can't see. It says it on the
you
top.
You guys don't have any footage of me laughing, do you?
I thought I had a clip of you laughing, like dying.
I might have it.
I've never seen you laugh that hard in my whole life. I thought you were going to throw up.
Oh, dude, you the other night. So there's some certain parts of this TV show that are scripted. I think we have a name for the episode of the podcast. So I'm going to say this right now. Derek, I'm going to out you. So Derek calls me from his hotel. He's like, yo,
you fucking asshole.
He goes, yo, dude, did you read this part of the script? Because they got to say all kinds of crazy shit.
And I go, well, what does it say? He goes, hey, Jim, did you put the thing on the thing? You got some real Chakopitsky. I'm saying it wrong. I've set the joke up so long.
Ask him how to spell it before you.
No. Okay. He goes, hey, Jim, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. Kapitsky. And then you hear Graz in the background goes, oh, it says Capiche.
No, he didn't know what it was first. But the best part of it is I've been getting my balls broken the most by Jimmy, and he's just hoping everybody fucking forgets he doesn't know how to spell. And it's just he would have been just as bad as me. But who's ever seen the word Capiche spelled out?
C-A-P-E-E-S-H?
No.
Capiche?
No, it looks more like...
Or is it?
It looks like cappuccino.
C-A-P-I-S-C-E.
I guess it looks like it says cap size.
It almost looks like cap size.
I didn't know what the fuck it said. I said about four different words, everything but capiche. I said
capiche. But when he said that, it was the night I was editing the Grindr video because I had to have it out Wednesday morning. And I was like, we were up late. He called me from the hotel like 1:30.
Laughing. And the other word was, what was the other word?
My chest hurt. I was laughing so hard.
It was the other word I couldn't pronounce either.
Verite.
Veritizi. I don't even know what Veritizi. I don't even know what that means.
I hear people say it all the time. I don't know what it means.
I don't know what it is. It's something with
It was really like shot real cinema verite. People say it to me all the time. I just go, oh, yeah, really? That's cool.
I have no fucking idea what that means.
That's hot. I'm not as bright as I look.
People just use words like that. People just use words like that to sound more important.
But people always say, like, you know, when they always like mention the beard and stuff, like, I'm at a point in my life that, you know, hopefully it does get better for me, but it's like I'm just like at that level. Like, I don't give a fuck no more. It's like I'm not getting a girlfriend. Oh, I'm not like, you know, doing this. I'm not getting a new job somewhere. Like, I'm where I'm at. So I don't care. Hey. I don't smell good. I don't look good. I smell okay. Yeah. Well, that's questionable, but
I smell so bad. I used to get like 20s on spelling tests. Like, I would, like, out of like 20 words, I would get like one spelled right. Like, whatever that grade is.
Yeah. I've always been horrible at spelling. We were talking about this last night. It's bad when you don't know how to spell a word and you say, let me just get it close so the spell check can correct it. The spell check gets it wrong or it makes it two words. It's like,
dude, yeah. I do that sometimes when I'm like writing an email and I'm like furiously typing, and then I go back and read it and there's a word that I spelled so wrong that it made it into something else and I don't remember what it is. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what did I write there that I turned into three different things? Thank God for computers.
It's almost like a cold cut. Capicola?
Yeah, I need a little capicci.
Some capicola.
So what, have you guys been watching anything interesting while we wrap this up? Yeah. I got to go to dinner.
Jimmy sit on his ass and do nothing. Oh, you mean on YouTube? What have I been watching? Oh.
What have you been watching? Give me something good.
Jimmy.
We don't have Paul to give us like a – yeah, you got to have something.
What have I been watching? Let me see. Let me go look at my
other than Tucker Carlson, what have you been watching?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Don't start. We can't polarize our viewers now, Derek. Didn't you already have an issue?
Yes, like I did.
Let's
I did.
Not, you know.
Oh, you know what? I watched. I just watched this guy, the Sean Woods, the Mousetrap guy, Monday Mouse.
Oh, yeah. Mousetrap Monday.
Mo sent me that. I watched that a couple hours ago. DIY Anvil from Railroad Track. I just saw that. Adam Savage, One Day Builds. It's actually 3 Day Builds. Let's see.
Maybe like one good one. I don't need the whole YouTube history from your phone.
I can't give you the whole YouTube history. People would unfollow me.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm trying to think. What have I been watching? I know I'm just going to find one good person that I like. Oh, hold on. I'm going to go to this guy. James Hoffman is the coffee snob that I was talking about. That's him. That's James Hoffman. So check it. If you're a coffee snob and you want to see how badly I executed my coffee grinder video, check out James
Hoffman.
It's actually Hotman. Hotman.
James.
No. Oh, is it Hoffman? Maybe I think.
I don't know.
I don't know. How's it spelt, Jimmy?
Well, look, you know what's going on? Look, I'm not even joking. I have no idea how to spell it, but look, I think the way it's cropped,
yeah.
So the top of the two apps
are cropped. Yeah.
That's on YouTube. I'm on the phone app, and the word James Hoffman is cropped, so the top of the F's are gone.
It's Hoffman. It's definitely Hoffman because he's got a bunch of coffee grinders. He's got a big YouTube channel.
And right under that is IC Weld. So go check out Isaac IC Weld, who's an amazing repairman, welder, cutter out in Texas.
All right. Derek, what do you got?
I think I might have mentioned him before, but I enjoyed one of his videos, a couple of them this week, is Farmcraft 101.
Okay, yeah.
I watch him.
That guy does some amazing things, and it's like I'm always surprised. Like, I mean, I don't know what he does for a living, but the guy just like, you know, he casts a lot of things, and man, he is so persistent.
Is it the guy that made the cannon?
He's so persistent. Like he was trying to cast a coin and actually a Doge coin. I'm offering this guy up for Paul Pinto. It's just like, he kept failing, and he just kept going Doge? At it.
You guys buying Doge?
And I just like his channel. He does a lot of cool stuff. He had the cannon, he had the big padlock. But go watch Farmcraft 101. Nice. I like his stuff. So
Farmcraft 101.
Uh-huh. What about you? What are you watching?
We've talked about this dude before, but I recently watched a bunch of his video. Like K Lem.
Oh yeah. Crazy.
He made a hydraulic press recently, and then he just made the accessories for it to turn it into a press brake. Like, he took an old railroad track and like milled a V-groove in it so that he could like press brake metal. And it's like, I don't know where he lives.
I know.
Indonesia. Cause he posted something on his Instagram or his YouTube that said like where he lives, it's like impossible to get the stuff he needed. So he just has no choice. But
it cracks me up when he posts and he talks about stuff, like he's so apologetic about like his English and all that. And it's like, dude, like we can understand you. Like he makes the most amazing things with like what he has. It's like the kid is so talented.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable watching him work. It's nuts.
Yeah. The press break thing is, you know, like if you were at an auction and you saw this thing, you'd be like, I wonder who like knocked the manufacturer's tag off of it. You know, like nothing about it looks like he made it in his shop.
He's so small too. He moves stuff around. It's like, holy shit.
Dude. I know. It looks like his freaking arms are going to break off at the elbow when he picks up some of this shit.
I know. He's amazing.
Speaking of which, did you guys watch that guy break his leg last night?
No way. What?
You watched UFC 261?
Oh, I watched it. But I missed that.
The guy, he kicks the other guy, and
it hinged.
The offensive kick hits the defensive leg, and it just folds in half. His shin just breaks his shin right in half.
So the offensive leg broke?
Yeah. So he kicked someone else with such force that he broke his own leg in half. But the worst part about it is he tries to step back on it because he doesn't realize that he broke it. That's the real gruesome part. But, God, the main
event. He broke below the knee?
Yeah, mid-shin. The main event, the Masvidal fight. But, yeah, Paul would have watched. Paul, we can talk about it with Pinto next week. But, yeah, it was watch the highlights. I didn't watch the fight last night, but I watched a bunch of the highlights today. And there was two female fights that were like pretty insane,
crazy.
That girl, the small girl, kicked the other one in the face. I forget her name. Thug Rose. Yeah. I don't know any of these people's names. I just watched the title fights, and I'm totally impressed by the by the beatdowns that these people
endure. Imagine that girl beating the shit out of you. Oh, God.
Dude, I mean, you know, Derek, you've had your fair share of scuffles, and uh-huh. I've been knocked out cold a couple times and been in a couple of good ones. And
that
it's just now.
Me. You with your mouth, I would find it hard to believe that somebody would knock you out. But go ahead.
I didn't get knocked out cold because of my mouth. I got knocked out cold because of the broad that I was seeing, but such is life. But it nowadays, as I get older, it makes me more and more like queasy to watch somebody get like knocked out like a board. Like the Masvidal fight, he gets clocked in the face so hard, like mist comes off his head, like a watermelon exploding. And you just imagine like surviving that.
Yeah. Whew. The force to make your brain shake like that.
Oh, that's like, did you guys ever see the one where, and this was a big UFC highlight when Masvidal does the flying knee, when he runs, the two guys like start the fight, and he runs at the other dude and jumps and knees him in the face and knocks him right out. It's the fastest knockout ever.
Oh, God.
Like, he literally, the guy says go, and instead of walking towards the center, he sprints full speed, jumps, and knees the other guy right in the face and knocks him out cold. That one, like, makes me sick when I watch it.
Oh, God.
But, you know, that guy survived and then went on to fight Jake Paul and got knocked out in that fight, too. So, that was Ben Askren.
Ugh.
So, anyway, that's the end of my UFC commentating.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to episode 40 of the Handmade Podcast.
Wait, and, I had a whole bunch to add to the UFC stuff. Sorry.
Stop talking. What do you got to say?
Oh, yeah. No, what do you got?
Get your notes.
Oh, next time. UFC.
I stay in the workshop. Be a man.
Yeah. Be a man. Get punched in the face. Get knocked out. Be a man.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Support Derek on Patreon. Unsubscribe from Jimmy DiResta. We'll see you next week.
Ignore your friends and family. Be a man.
Don't take it to the limit. Get a knockout. Be a man.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I needed Derek to say the thank you, but he wouldn't do it. So
thank
you. After show? Yeah.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.